Really, that is just so silly and so harmful because not being suicidal or not being completely unable to get out of bed is not the bar we should set. There's not a binary where we're either suicidal or unable to function in life, or our mental health is okay and we're fine and we don't need help. My mental health was not okay, and it was having a significant and severe impact on my life. And while, yeah, it's great that I wasn't having to deal with being suicidal, love that for me, I deserved, and you deserve, and everyone deserves to be in way better mental health than I was. Kia ora koutou. Welcome back to episode 4 of Good You Can Do. My life has been just completely focused on cats the last few weeks, so long time no talk. We adopted a kitten, her name is Safie, and while she's absolutely adorable, she's the sweetest thing ever the majority of the time, an absolute joy. She also, of course, has a ton of energy. And our 2-year-old cat, Hudam, has a lot less energy. So, trying to prevent Safia from annoying Hudam when she tries to play with her is almost a full-time job. And then I have my actual full-time job to do too. So, finding time for my little side things that I like to do has not been easy. I really, really wish that we had adopted two cats at the same time back when we adopted Hudam, but we didn't know at the time if we would be able to keep two cats in our current home or not. So, you know, but yeah, I really recommend you adopt two cats at a time, and that if you do have an adult cat and you're going to get another cat, that you get an adult cat. We thought a kitten will be less of a territorial threat to her, so maybe it'll go easier in that perspective. And it did go very easily in that perspective. But now there's just an issue of the older cat feeling very annoyed a lot of the time when the other cat is like always trying to play with her because she just has so much energy and she just wants to play so much, which is adorable. But I'm not always able to step in and redirect her to play with me. Recommend you don't do what we did, but it's just a matter of time. Eventually, they're gonna be fine. When the young one is in a chill mode, they get along fine, so we'll get there. But anyway, today we are going to be talking about persistent depression, which is also known as dysthymia. I've also heard it referred to as high functioning or functional depression, but you really won't feel high functioning when you have it. So that's a potentially misleading term, but I'll be talking about that and what that is and how it's different from major depressive disorder, which is what people are typically talking about when they speak about depression. Of course, there's the obvious content warning that we will be discussing depression, obviously. And if that's not something that you feel able to listen to right now, that's totally fine. Go do something more fun and less depressing with your time. I don't have a guest with me to talk about this today, as this is something that I have a lot of personal experience with suffering from. It may be a shorter episode, however, as I will essentially just be going over what persistent depression is and sharing a little bit of my personal experiences. I really want more people to understand what it is, because I struggled with it for so many years, and my struggles were very much exacerbated by the fact that I felt like, oh, my problems aren't bad enough to require professional help. Oh, I shouldn't even tell people that I have depression because other people have it so much worse. For example, I luckily have never experienced having suicidal ideation, which is something so many people do struggle with, and I kind of felt like I shouldn't be complaining or seeking attention for what I was going through when there were so many people who had it worse. And really, that is just so silly and so harmful because not being suicidal or not being completely unable to get out of bed is not the bar we should set. There's not a binary where we're either suicidal or unable to function in life, or our mental health is okay and we're fine and we don't need help. My mental health was not okay, and it was having a significant and severe impact on my life. And while, yeah, it's great that I wasn't having to deal with being suicidal, love that for me, I deserved, and you deserve, and everyone deserves to be in way better mental health than I was. So when I learned what persistent depression or dysthymia was, that was really the first step for me in getting on the road to feeling better, because I finally admitted to myself, okay, it's not just me being tired or me being a low-key kind of person or me being lazy. I have a real problem and I can get better, but I have to get help from others, I have to talk to people, and I have to take some steps to begin recovering from this. It's so easy as well, after such a long time of feeling that way, to think this is just the way that you are. So it can be a lot harder to realize there's a problem with persistent depressive disorder. Sorry, that's a lot of S's in there. But it is not okay to feel that way for that extended period of time. And you can get help and you can get better. I will be linking to some resources in the description that you can use to begin seeking help if you need to. So, what is persistent depression? Basically, persistent depression is less severe than major depression, but it can last a lot longer. It's defined as lasting for at least 2 years, and over that time, you'll feel this way for most of the days, essentially. It can definitely get more and less severe over that time. For me, I was in it for around 10 years all up, and I had short-term periods within that where I felt like I was feeling better and I was thinking, okay, I'm starting to, you know, things are starting to look up for me, but that would never last for more than about a month at a time. And then the majority of the time, my mood was very much suppressed to varying degrees. I would say I'm definitely recovering now, but I wouldn't say I'm completely fine either. It's a work in progress. So essentially, with this, you have many of the same symptoms as you would have during major depressive disorder, just generally not as severely, but for a longer period of time. So a lot of the time people who have major depressive disorder, for example, will talk about, I felt like I couldn't get out of bed, you know, I would just not go to work, I would just want to sit at home for like a week or something. Whereas with persistent depression, you know, you definitely, like, I definitely had days where I couldn't go to work because of my mental health, but most of the time, you know, it's, yeah, you go, but when you're there, you're not performing at the level that you would be otherwise or could be. So, for example, I would struggle concentrating. I would just have no motivation, you know, so I would get into the office, but then I just wasn't myself, and as I said, it's very hard to recognize that it's not yourself when I was there. It's also possible to experience persistent depressive disorder with bouts of major depressive disorder occurring within that time frame. So here's a list of symptoms that you may experience with persistent depressive disorder: a loss of interest in normal daily activities, feelings of sadness or emptiness, being tired and lacking energy, feelings of hopelessness, low self-esteem, or feelings of incapability or doubting your own abilities, trouble concentrating or making decisions, excessive irritability or anger, decreased activity and productivity, avoiding socializing, poor appetite or overeating, and trouble sleeping or excessive sleeping. So I personally experienced all of these to varying degrees and varying ways, except I think for irritability or anger. And of course, it's not a requirement that you experience all of these symptoms or that you experience the same symptoms in the same way as I did. Basically, if you are experiencing some of these symptoms most of the time for a period of 2 years or more, and that's having a really negative impact on your life, then you might have persistent depression and you should talk to somebody about it. The symptoms of persistent depression caused me to fail or significantly underperform in just about every aspect of my life: my friendships, my marriage, my career, my health. It can be a really vicious cycle, because it's often when things are already not going super great in those areas that you can start to feel depressed because, you know, you're losing your connections with people, for example, or you're just not achieving things in life or having experiences in life that you feel like you want to have and should be having. And then the depression causes everything to get even worse. So everything feeds into everything else and the depressive feelings just keep getting perpetuated. So please get help as soon as you can, because I know that I would have found it a lot easier to recover from if I had started seriously trying to recover 2, 3, or 4 years in rather than when I did. It's like you're a lot further into this hole and it's harder to climb out. And I understand that you may not be able to afford full-on, you know, one-to-one professional therapy, but there are some free services that you can take advantage of. And it's also really helpful to just talk to somebody in your personal life that you can trust with the information, again, if you are able to. And as I said before, I've got some places linked down below where you can start to get advice on what you can do and get some tips on how to start that process. So that's it. A really short little episode this time, but I hope it was somewhat informative for some of you. If so, I would hugely appreciate if you would give this podcast a review in whatever app you're using to listen or share the show on your social media. I will be putting up a couple of graphics on the show Instagram page that you can share to pass on some basic info about persistent depressive disorder with your followers. So do check that out, and I'm always keen to hear from you about any related experiences you've had. Let's have a chat. I would really love in future to do an episode with a qualified person who can provide some in-depth information on how to navigate the mental health system in New Zealand when seeking help for whatever mental health challenges you may need support for, and also what different kinds of treatment might look like for different people. So if you know someone who might be perfect for that, I would love to hear about it. But for now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, live your best life, and I will chat to you again in the next episode. Ka kite anō!